The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
That's right, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big
JD? Doing good.
I'm glad to hear that. It's like you almost know what I'm going to say. You're answering my questions before I even ask them.
Before I ask them. What?
Are you on the pseudo-fedrin again? You're out of hand.
No, I'm ready to fall asleep, actually. You wouldn't know it by the way I'm talking.
No, you wouldn't. I think you drank 3 cups of coffee.
It's all for the show.
It's all for this show.
It's all show.
That's interesting how...
this is killing me.
I need shades. I was going to say, you want to put some shades on?
Well, I will.
Okay.
You talk to the fine people, and I'll get some shades.
Well, what I was going to say is the whole thing about doing drugs before you go on for a show. A lot of guys got into music for one reason, then they got famous, and then the only way they could really perform naturally was if they got really polluted.
Yeah, I guess. That's something I don't know that I could do, but that's how a lot of artists function.
In general,
heavily
yeah.
under the influence, and they couldn't if they weren't like that.
I know.
And maybe not creative either. I never had that problem regarding creativity.
No doubt. Imagine if you did drink or smoke or do cocaine.
Well, I did my share of stuff in the past.
But you weren't as creative as you are now.
I think I was... I don't know that there was that much of a difference. But I know I used to write and, you know, played music and whatnot. But I was as creative before that and after. I was thinking about that today. It wasn't a long part of my life where I really, you know... It was all through high school, basically.
So, right. You didn't know. You know,
5-6 years. Had a really good blast. It was a lot of fun. And I'm just getting back into drugs now.
Glad to hear that. Now that you've lived as far as you have, you figure, well, heck, I'm
living... Hold on. Let me pull off this rubber tie.
Intravenous.
What do you call those? And you tie off?
You tie off, yeah. Using a belt or a rubber tube or something.
Yeah, rubber tube. That's what I like.
You like the rubber tube?
Well, I love the rubber tube.
I'm into leather myself, so I use a belt on the bus.
Yeah? You like the whip?
Whips and chains. So what you been up to, Big JD?
Business as usual around here. Camp OMS.
Camp OMS.
You want to go camping?
It doesn't sound very enticing, no. It sounds like nothing but work.
Tentless camping.
Why don't you, you were talking about the refugee thing you're working on.
Through Their Eyes. It's a film about refugee youth and a web series. It was a big project, but we followed it for a long time. Not that it was like constant 8-hour-a-day stuff, you know what I mean? But it was a 3-year-in-the-making film, and which we decided to do webisodes because we had so much stuff, footage and everything, and right. we knew that a film wouldn't be able to be as long. We couldn't make a... You know.
But you did make a feature film.
But we did a feature-length film for the most part, yeah. It's an hour documentary film. And we have 11 webisodes, which totals about 2 hours.
Very nice.
And the film is pulled from, you know, or vice versa.
Right. Everything's tied together in the film, whereas the webisodes are their own thing.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to get rid of the latency.
Oh, we are getting rid of the latency. There you go. It's gone.
Okay. You didn't notice that, folks listening to the show, but
no,
hey.
They don't know. They don't know anything.
So
they do now.
Well, yeah.
So that's basically wrapped up. I actually deliver all that stuff tomorrow. The film, the webisodes, the theatrical poster, the DVD, the you know, and all the artwork that belongs with that stuff.
Awesome.
I'm glad that's it was a big thing. So I'm glad it's also glad it's done. So.
You seem to have a lot of projects on the go. If you don't mind me asking, how do you keep track of like prioritize? How do you prioritize? I guess is what I'm saying. Prioritize and organize.
That's a good question. I sometimes jump around like between projects,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I can keep them all up You know what I mean? I have to work on them all at the same time most of the time.
So do you think that you do as good of a job on one project as you would if you were just...
Absolutely.
You can't say anything else and no one would hire you otherwise.
Absolutely.
They're all Camp
they're,
OMS.
They're all really bad. No, they're... No, I keep up well with all that. I'd like to... It's my own stuff I wish I had more time for.
Right.
And I don't.
Because you are...
But I have a bunch of projects on the go, too, of my own, but I can't really get to them.
Right.
They're a long time coming, too. Look at the film. Four on the Floor. I just got some information about a vehicle, and as soon as I get that, I'm pretty much done. I don't have to do any more interviews. I'd like to still do some interviews of people that were, you know what I mean, still kind of... Right,
and that could be webisode stuff as well.
It could be, because, you know, we filmed enough stuff that...
Yeah, you'd have a web episode with just Kelly Hoppe alone.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Mark Chichkin.
Yeah.
Or
Chichkin was the longest, yeah. I mean, for the couple of minutes we might need from everybody, or a minute or whatever, yeah. You know. Yeah, Chichkin's was the longest. I think it was like an hour and 45 minutes or something like that. But the stories were awesome, so.
Yeah, he's got a lot of stories.
Everybody was, really. I mean, everybody had stories and stuff like that. Everybody was, you know, fun in their own...
Their own way.
What's happening with you? You're back to work? Like, officially now? But you're on a weird shift.
Yeah.
But I know other people that said they went back to work.
Yeah. A lot of people went back to work for the first time today, and this one first week we're back is just a goofy schedule because we're launching the plan, basically.
So it's a goofy schedule for everybody?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's 7-hour shifts, and they want some hours of overlap.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Not just butting together, like, you
know. So did you, looking back now, did you have a nice vacation?
You did
a lot of stuff, didn't you?
I did, yeah, for sure. Best part was going to BC.
And it looks like you got a big vacation coming up with all the concerts and whatnot you're going to.
Yeah, well, that's just one night kind of stuff. But anyway, you want to tell the folks what we're going to be talking about on the show later on
today? More fun today. It's Jimi Hendrix.
Blues guitarist, rock guitarist extraordinaire.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll be talking everything that we know about him and his story, and playing lots of good...
Which we're going to get off Wikipedia in a couple minutes. Jimi Hendrix, born in the Isle of Wight. Okay, we are back bringing you the news.
What the heck? Well, of course, the big news since the last time we talked was the death of B.B. King. Well, at least it was for me.
1 minute of silence on the morning show.
Okay, thank you very much. We're back from our minute of silence.
We edited it down.
We should have 1 minute of just
B.B. King.
Of a loop of B.B. doing the... Oh, yeah,
some kind of vibrato. Something on Lucille.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Like, for me... B.B. King was someone who, once I realized, came to the realization that most of rock that I listened to was based on blues music. You know, I love Zeppelin, love Deep Purple, love Ted Nugent, Santana, mm-hmm. all these guys who had definite blues, and Jimi Hendrix too, definitely. You could tell that there's some blues-based knowledge in them that inspired them to write the music that they did. And once you get turned on to that, you want to go to the place where these guys got their inspiration, just to see where are they coming from. You know what I mean? It wasn't all original kind of stuff. Like, if you thought that in your head, like, wow, the stuff that they come up with is awesome. You know what I mean? But they didn't come up with it. Once you find that information, I was like, well, where did they get it from?
Well, they all stole it.
Well, it's stealing, inspired by whatever it is. I mean, B.B. King stole stuff too. He was inspired by a lot of people. But so at first it was Eric Clapton, who he was John Mayall and the Blues Breakers guy. I know I'm zipping through the news here with
that's
Mike.
All right. That's all right.
It was B.B. King. So I'm just putting him in context. And B.B. King was one of the dudes who I realized was a blues giant, but in a kind of a different way than, like, you know, like I said, Hubert Sumlin and Muddy Waters and all those guys. Because he was a singer, he was an entertainer. He came out and he sang, and his style was, I'm going to sing something, and then my guitar is going to play something off of that.
Yep.
So that was...
And I'm going to make a whole bunch of faces and entertain the crowd, and he has stories, and he's funny.
Yeah. How did you get turned on to B.B. King, and what did he mean to you?
He meant almost everything to me.
Really?
Yeah. Huge. Especially because I'm really into lead playing, and I could care less if I ever played a chord, for one thing.
And he says he doesn't play chords.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, while you were talking, I was trying to think of how I got turned on to B.B. King. And it was so long ago, and I don't really remember what it was that I got turned on to B.B. King by, if it was a song or just the guy, or like, I don't even know anymore what it is. I mean, it would take longer than the show probably for me to figure it out now, but I've been listening to B.B. King forever, and I can't even
pinpoint,
probably tell you what, you know, something way back when, I don't know. And I saw B.B. King in the 80s, mm-hmm. and I don't know, I was digging him back then, but I don't know, I don't really know what.
Like, he was a worldwide.
I think it might have been the Thrill Is Gone song, but
sure, that's probably was everybody's, you know, initial and maybe only exposure to B.B. King. I mean, everybody knew that because that was his hit tune.
And another thing too is, I mean, to me, he was one of the heavier blues guys because he sang. I mean, he sang great quietly and yeah. you know, heavy, but he had a strong, powerful voice.
Whew. Yeah.
You know, and I really like that. And the music was great and the guitar and you know what I mean? The whole experience was really cool.
It was a good show. Anyway, another piece of news you have over there?
This one here is kind of ties in with the B.B. King thing, and it's about Steve Miller paying tribute to B.B. King and whatnot. And Steve Miller, though, I mean, I didn't realize how much into the blues Steve Miller was, you know, before his whole Steve Miller Band thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like he learned by a lot of those guys and knew a lot of those guys and played with a lot of those guys. And then he was doing Jungle Love and everything like that. And I kind of thought later on, like when started coming out with blues records, like as of late, I'm like, you know, well, he's talking about B.B. King. He's just getting into it now or something. Like all of a sudden he's a blues guy. No. I didn't really know that much about Steve Miller's past.
Yeah.
He's got and it was pretty amazing.
He learned stories from Les Paul as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Pretty amazing stuff. And something else about a classic Rainbow concert recently released by Purple Pyramid Records, Denver concert, 1979, with Cozy Powell, Graham Bonnet, Roger Glover, Don Airey, in support of the Down to Earth album. And I guess they're going to be releasing also a 3-CD set, which is pretty cool.
Absolutely.
You know, when they come out with some of this old stuff that you, you know, bands that are long gone, and then all of a sudden something surfaces. I think that stuff's great. I really like that.
Me too. And it just makes me wonder what else is out there waiting to be released.
That'll surface sometime, eh?
Yeah, I can't wait.
That's not Jimi Hendrix.
Or B.B. King.
Nope.
It'd be more likely.
We need to do a B.B. King show. That's what we should have been doing this week. It's a B.B. King show.
I agree. But we just said the last week we were going to do a Jimi Hendrix show. So the next person we talk about
should be B.B. King.
Yeah, we'll have to do 10.
Unless you want to slip something in between these two blues guys.
What blues guys?
Well, Jimi Hendrix is, you know. Oh, we'll be doing other shows between anyway, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to B.B.
King. I thought you meant next, following week.
No, I'm saying we got to do what?
Tell us about Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix, what do you want to know?
I don't know. What do you got?
Well,
where was he born?
Before I tell you where he was born, he has lots of heritage. He has Irish heritage.
Uh-huh.
And his great-grandmother... No, I'm sorry. His great-great-grandmother was a full-blooded Cherokee.
Wow.
So he's mostly, they say, African-American. He was born in Seattle,
mm-hmm.
of course, and he was born on November 27th, 1942. Born Johnny Allen Hendrix. No Jimmy anything.
Right.
Just Johnny.
Johnny Allen.
So you know that's he does look too. He doesn't look like your average African American dude. So the fact that he had mm-hmm. Cherokee in him, I think that really came out. And he also had Irish in him as well. So
even the old pictures back in the day, when he was playing with some other artists. You see on the, if you go to the Jimi Hendrix official website, you'll find a picture of that band. I forget the dude there that he was in the band with. But yeah, he doesn't.
Curtis Knight?
Yeah, is that it? Yeah, Curtis Knight, I think.
Because he's also in Little Richard's band, and he was also in the Isley Brothers.
Yeah, he did a lot of stuff.
Before he became Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix. Yeah.
What was his name in those bands? Was it Johnny Allen?
No, it was Jimi Hendrix.
Was it? Okay. Yeah.
No, I think the Allen part never, ever showed up, I don't think.
Can one of us take Johnny Allen if we want it? Hey, it's Johnny Allen live. That sounds like a pretty good name for an artist. Johnny Allen Band.
Usually,
Jab.
Two first names work pretty good in any setting. Just give them two first names.
Yeah, yeah. Never trust a person with two first names.
Never trust them?
No.
What if your name's Johnny Allen?
Never trust a person with two first names.
All right.
Frank Bob.
What about Woody
Allen? I mean, you know, with it for their last name, like, I'm just kidding. I don't know. There's okay. Nothing wrong with it.
You can't generalize last and first names, I guess. Yeah, so he was born in 42 and went to jail.
Right away? Like when he was, as soon as he was born? He was born in 42 and went to jail.
Yeah, pretty much. They found him in a stolen car. No, he's probably a teenager.
That's where he was born, in a stolen car. Or,
yeah, I think he was 18, if I'm not mistaken. They caught him in a stolen car. And he
died in what year? 1970. Because 27 Club.
27.
I heard somebody say he was 28, though.
No. He died September 28th. So okay. He would have been 28 if he would have lasted a couple more months.
Okay. Yeah. Like, and we're going to play some Jimi Hendrix.
We're going to play one of my favorite Hendrix tunes. It's If Six Were Nine.
Was Nine.
What?
If Only Six Was Nine.
Conservative flashing down the street, pointing their plastic finger at me. They'll pursue my kind of dropping down. I'm gonna wave my green flag. Hi! Wow! Like me.
got my own life to live. I'm the one who's got to die when it's time for me to die. So let me live my life the way I want to. Sing on, brother. Play on, brother.
Very nice choice of song you have there.
That's one of my faves. Yeah, so he got the choice of going to jail or join the army. So he joined the army.
He did, yeah.
And when he was in the army, he met up with Billy Cox, who played bass. And it turns out that would be, you know, as far as Jimmy goes, a lifelong friendship that turned into something later on at the end of his career. But it was cool that he got in the army and he left his guitar at his girlfriend's house. So he told his dad, make sure that you have, what's her name, send me my guitar.
Right.
Betsy. I think her name was Betsy.
Betsy.
Yeah. So he was, once he got the guitar at the, where he was based in Kentucky, he started jamming and his attention really was diverted by the guitar while he was in the army. So he got discharged. I think he was seen as a good man by his superiors, but they realized that he just wasn't army material, so they honorably discharged him.
Did he do anything while he was in the army? Like, I don't know what year that was exactly, but I mean, was he
deployed?
Did he see any? Yeah,
no, nothing, eh? I don't know. Yeah. Never saw any action.
Elvis either, did he? He didn't see any action, did he?
Nope.
Were they in at the same time together? Wonder if they were
maybe
they met or anything like that, you know.
I don't know if they would have met, but because there's tons there was probably even more army bases in the 60s than there are now, I'd have to think. But you got another tune for us here?
I do, and I'll dedicate this one to my brother's new little baby, Sophia Isabella. This is Jimi Hendrix, Isabella from War Heroes. Well, I'm calling you under fire. Well, I hope you're receiving me.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
So Jimi Hendrix gets honorably discharged, and he starts playing the Chitlin' Circuit, which is a circuit of bars. It was actually, there was really actually a name for that, like an official name. Theater Owners something Association. And they would get together and they would hire acts. Then they would basically, the acts would just rotate in this circuit in Kentucky, Tennessee, maybe Georgia, just in the the southeastern states. Mm-hmm. And he would be jamming, and then he got picked up with by Curtis Knight and the Squires.
Curtis Knight and the Squires. That's because they played all Fender Squires.
I don't know where why Squire, the word Squire was so popular back then, because I want to say there was
because it was in the days of kings and queens.
Guillotines.
It's all okay.
I want to say that we had a Woody.
Whoa.
No, a station kind of wagon.
Show. Oh, okay.
Woody station wagon. And it was called Country Squire.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember those? No?
Yeah. Of course, with a wood side panel.
Well, yeah, wood panel. We had one of those, and we'd go to the drive-in.
What? Who made that? It wasn't the... We had a Ford...
I want to say it was
side panel thing, but...
I want to say it was a Ford.
I can't remember if that was the Country Squire or what. The very back had seats that faced each other in the very back that opened up from the floor.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
We used to go on vacations in it. Loved it.
Yeah. Seatbelts? Who needs a stinking seatbelt? Cool. Everybody stuff. Does. Please wear your seatbelt.
And here's some Jimi Hendrix. This is Blue Suede Shoes. Jimi Hendrix's rendition of Blue Suede Shoes.
That's a Lieber and Stoller tune?
No, Stoller and Liebert.
Okay.
Dan Liebert.
Is it, though?
Is it Dan?
No.
No, I think it's Your Way, which you said.
No, but is it one of those? Is Blue Suede Shoes one of those tunes?
Oh, yeah. Elvis.
Yeah, I know. It's an Elvis tune, and Elvis never really wrote any.
Lieber and Stroller.
Okay, here it is. We'll be right back.
Doesn't sound like any blue suede shoes that I've ever worn. I mean, heard.
No. He did his own take on that.
And I like that about Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, yeah. He took the blues his to a different place. Took,
played left-handed.
Played a right-handed guitar upside down.
Yeah.
As opposed to... you can get a left-handed Strat.
But how did he string it?
Strung it?
He strung it with a heavy string on the top.
I would did he not? Assume so.
Unlike Albert King, who
just flipped strung, it. Yeah.
Yeah, just
flipped it
turn
over.
It backwards and just play.
Yeah.
Which is insane to me.
Yeah, it's hard to wrap your head around it, but if that's all you're doing, there's nothing wrong with that.
I can't play it the normal way, let alone...
but anyway...
let's try that one day. We'll flip our guitars around and play something.
All right. Even just like chords and stuff. Well, you don't play chords. You're like B.B. King in Rattle and Hum, the famous line that me and Dan always say to each other. I don't play no codes. That's what B.B. King said to as they're walking up on the stage to play Desire. Yeah.
I think that's great, too, because, I don't know.
But it was funny that play by the rules. I don't know if that was scripted or what, but like the camera's following them on, like up to the stage, like, and what are we going to play? And, you know, they're discussing as they're walking up, and, you know, I can't play no codes. Yeah. King don't play no codes.
Would you ever think that you could be in a band and just never play chords?
Well, he could because that was his thing, because he had a freaking band. Hello? He had like 15 people on stage. And I believe that the reason.
Some of them were relatives.
A lot of them were relatives, and behind the stage, like in the, you know, the stage hands and all that kind of stuff. I think he played as long as he did. I think even like the latter part, you could tell he was sitting down for one thing, and then he'd always be just resting his body on his knees. You know, when he wasn't playing. Mm-hmm. You could tell he wasn't enthused about being there. You know what I mean? He'd play some blues tunes, and you could tell he was getting into it because he had the blues because he had to keep going to keep his family employed.
Yeah.
Well, but I honestly think that is a part of the motivation for him to keep going so late in life.
He was standing up later on too, again, right? Like not that long ago. Was he standing back up? He lost all kinds of weight. Was he back up off his chair?
I don't remember.
That's what I thought.
No. That doesn't ring a bell with this cat.
I'm glad I saw him when he wasn't sitting down.
Yeah, me too. I saw him once when he wasn't sitting down. Cool. And then the next time was a half and half kind of show. And then the next time I saw him, it was mostly like he played one song standing up and then he'd sit down for the rest of the night kind of thing.
I have so many B.B. King CDs. I had so many B.B. King albums from, I wish I could remember why I got into B.B. King, but it's just amazing, man. Some of the albums that he has are just like the most amazing thing ever.
For sure.
And that one I was talking to you about before, about blowing my speaker.
Yeah. Killer.
What a great album, man. Yeah. King of the Blues, 1989.
Yep. It definitely has a feel to it that you don't get in albums that are made today, that's for sure.
No. I need a lot of good songs, man. And a lot of like stuff from him through a certain point that was... Not like a lot of the blues that he did, and not like a lot of the old stuff.
Yes.
Like, you know, pretty modernized.
Modern stuff, yeah.
Like, I want to say rock, but some poppy, you know, too. Sure. But just really, really good, man.
Yeah, for sure. Save it for the B.B. King show, brother.
Oh, geez, yeah. We're on the Jimi Hendrix show, aren't we?
Jimi Hendrix,
yeah. How do we get back on B.B.?
I don't know, but I'll tell you some more of the story of Jimi Hendrix. He was on the Chitlin Circus, played a circuit. And he played for all these other dudes, and it was Keith Richards' girlfriend who saw him in a club, I think, in New York, and she turned him on to some other guy, I forget who it was, but he said, no, I don't have any use for him. And then Chaz Chandler of the Animals came around and said, let's go to England, and I think I can do something with you over there. People will be digging you. And that was that he was really well liked over in Europe and in the UK, and that's really where his career basically blossomed. And the band that became The Experience was basically hand picked dudes, session dudes who they thought were going to be complimenting Jimmy, and who they had to have some chemistry there as well, right? And so that was Noel Redding and Mitch Mitchell,
great guys.
So they got together and they created Are You Experienced, the very first Jimi Hendrix, you know, solo career album. And are we going to hear something from that right now? What have we been listening to? Manic Depression.
Manic Depression.
Is that on there?
Yeah, that's one of the old tunes, I know. So I pulled it off Smash Hits.
Smash Hits is probably one of the biggest selling Jimmy albums, would you not say?
It's a great, was a great album. I remember.
Yeah, it's the second tune off of Are You Experienced.
Great Greatest Hits album.
And a lot of them are off of Are You Experienced. Like on here's Foxy Lady, Manic Depression.
This all those ones from Smash Hits are old. That came out after those first few albums.
Yeah. Probably right after he died, I'm guessing. Someone just said, let's make it.
Because he only really, I mean, he did a lot of stuff in his time, but there was only really a few official albums.
Yeah, we're going to go through what the albums were, actually. But right now, we're going to listen to Manic Depression from Are You Experienced?
And we'll be back right after this.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
And we're back. We got another Jimi Hendrix tune coming up for you on today's show, which we're talking about Jimi Hendrix and his life.
And not B.B. King.
And not B.B. King, but you want to go through a couple albums that they did?
Well, yeah.
So there was the experience. There was the Jimi Hendrix experience, which is the first version of his band, I guess, the Jimi Hendrix thing. There was Are You Experienced, Axis,
Cold. Bold as Love, yeah.
Bold as Love. And Electric Ladyland.
Uh-huh. Double album.
So that great was too. That was the three albums that that band had put together. There was other songs that were recorded during all those sessions.
Oh, yeah.
And I, from what I understand, it was just a buzz fest. Like, some of the sessions were just insane. Like, people just wasted and Jimi Hendrix just freaking wailing, oh, yeah, going crazy. And like, it was a time of experimentation, obviously. They were doing, you know, mushrooms and acid and all kinds of other stuff. Not necessarily, you know, the hard chemies, heroin and cocaine, which was becoming popular at the time. But I think it was more along the line of acid and mescaline and peyote caps and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Stuff that was a little more natural. So I'm not sure what it would do. Can you tell me what the next tune's going to be?
Freedom.
Freedom. Oh, so that's off the very last album that Jimmy recorded, which was with Noel Redding and Billy Cox.
Mm-hmm.
So after Jimmy broke up the Experience and got together and did the Band of Gypsies, which was Billy Cox, and I forget who was the drummer on.
Buddy Miles.
Buddy Miles.
Yeah.
And he could sing too, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to reunite the Experience, but Jimmy said he'd rather not jam with Mitch Mitchell.
Why?
Because he just made the Band of Gypsies with Billy Cox, and now these guys are tight. Mm. They got their thing going on, and you could tell Jimmy was sliding back into like a more bluesy, maybe a little less experimentation.
And an all-black band.
Well, no. Noel Redding is a white dude.
No, but I mean Cox and Miles.
Oh, in Band of Gypsies.
Band of Gypsies, yeah.
Right, right.
But so I get confused about his little...
Yeah, me too. And I always want to be clear on it. And it's good to do this kind of show for me, because then I kind of get the chronology of everything and where everything sits. So I kind of I dig that kind of stuff. I think we have this conversation with Deep Purple, because you seem to be a big Deep Purple aficionado. And that the personnel in that band was all over
the place. Yeah, that was all over the place too. Well, but it was like the change the singer and the drum, singer and the bass player, and then change the singer and the bass player, and then change the singer and the bass player. For the most part, that's what happened.
Right, and they all wrote awesome. They all were. It was all really good.
Every iteration of that band was great. Really.
So it was obviously Ritchie Blackmore who,
made
the sound of that band what it was. And I can imagine he was a bit of a tyrant.
Yeah, I don't think they've ever been anything after that, after Blackmore. Well, except with Bolan was pretty cool. But, I mean, you know, that was the tail end of the old school Deep Purple stuff.
Yep.
And then was Morse, right?
Right, and after and that, that's,
yeah. Just not the same.
It wasn't the same, but it was still good music they put out. Just
good stuff, good music, you know, and they had Gillan in there, or he's probably still playing with them or whatever. Yeah, you know,
for sure.
That's cool.
It is. I think so. But on with some more Hendrix tunes.
Yeah. Freedom.
From Cry of Love, that's or Noel Redding.
Which wasn't an official release either, though, really, was it? I don't think. I don't know. It was an album. I had it as an album and War Heroes and all these Jimi Hendrix things, but I don't know if they were like how official these things really were. Because it took them a long time to come out on like CD later or anything, and I don't know if what the holdup was or that they weren't like actual albums. And I don't know what the deal was.
No, it was released in 1971 as an actual album.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. I remember having the album. I just don't know why I couldn't get them all on CD later. It was just those first three, really, that were released. And I still don't know if it was actually released officially. War Heroes, Cry of Love, all those things.
I think Cry of Love was. War Heroes, I'm not sure. And there's tons of live stuff. Fortunately, back then they realized Hendrix was a dude that we should be recording, because what we're hearing is pure magic.
And here's the magic of freedom.
That's what
And there you have Freedom, Jimi Hendrix, and IK Multimedia, which is you know, software, now hardware company that makes things, hardware software for musicians, amp simulation and whatnot.
Amplitude, iRig, and iMic, yeah, and all that kind of stuff.
And they have an official Jimi Hendrix amp collection, Amplitude Jimi Hendrix, and... they have some of these things here to say that you can jam out using Jimi's legendary tones. The Jimi Hendrix legend continues his revolutionary playing and creative use of guitars, amps, and effects have influenced virtually every electric guitarist who's come after him using genuine Hendrix gear and their cutting-edge modeling technology. They've developed an app that lets you tap into Jimi's signature sounds right from your iPhone or iPod Touch, iPad, and, of course, from your computer. It's Amplitude Jimi Hendrix, which they created in collaboration with the Authentic Hendrix LLC. They can't officially say Marshall. And I want to say that when I got Amplitude Hendrix, it said Marshall on it.
It was somewhere in the license.
And now it's...
just Jimi Hendrix LLC.
Although they have officially say they have a Marshall product, which is a Slash... Amplitude Slash.
Oh, yeah.
Amplitude Slash. Yet, I don't know how they are able to do that.
Yeah.
Because of Slash must have or own something with that.
Yeah.
Because they don't have any official Marshall stuff. Although, I heard a company's coming out with an official plugin that's part of a piece of hardware that is licensed by Marshall. I forget who it is, but... So, you got to kind of pay big bucks to have it. I don't know. Anyway, that's just wanted to let people know that because you could get Jimi Hendrix sound for your, you know, for your phone and for your computer.
But you got to plug your guitar into it
if you're recording and whatnot. Yeah, yeah.
You got to know how to play guitar.
Yeah.
Very cool. That stuff's awesome. IK Multimedia, they make all kinds of good stuff. Theater Owners Booking Agency, TOBA, was the thing that was the Chitlin Circus and Circuit. And the other thing I wanted to make sure that I get across is the story about Hendrix had watched Butch Snipes play with his teeth in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And by now, Alfonso Baby Boo Young, the other guitarist in the band, was performing this guitar gimmick. Not to be upstaged, Hendrix learned to play with his teeth. And he commented, the idea of doing that came to me in Tennessee. So, yeah, obviously, we were talking about, you know, somebody doing something that came from somebody else, ripping off or whatever you want to say. Hendrix is known for playing with his teeth.
Right, yeah. And setting his guitar on fire.
Yeah.
Woodstock. Was that at Woodstock?
No. It was Isle of Wight.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the first time he did that. Then there's
a lot of cool Hendrix concerts. I think I have a bunch of Hendrix DVD, concert DVDs. They're also cool.
I agree. There's the Monterey Pop Festival.
Oh, another great album by him was Live at Rainbow Bridge.
Rainbow Bridge, yeah, that's a great album. Yeah. tons of other music. Did you do, is one of your tunes?
I remember going to the University of Windsor somewhere, one of the halls there, and see a Hendrix movie. It was the one about the double white album that I don't even think exists anymore, that you can't get on CD or anything, but it's him sitting on a stool.
What?
It's a white cover, double album, him sitting on a stool, I think with an acoustic guitar, cool feather in his hat kind of thing or whatever. And I can't remember what the album is now. I had the actual record album, but they had that that movie from, it's a soundtrack from something. And they had it at the university. And I was going to maybe grade 9. So like 15, 16 years old is when they.
I thought you were going to say 15, 16 years ago.
No. Well, that's when that was, isn't it? Only?
Yeah, sure.
I'm only 30.
Do the math.
Hey, this next song here is not by Jimi Hendrix. It's B.B. King, because we talking about B.B. King on the show, too, and he was... No, I'm just kidding. It's actually Frank Marino, who wrote this song on his first album called Mac Zoom, and this song was a...
Tribute?
A tribute to Jimi Hendrix, I guess you could say, yeah, because he was a big fan of Hendrix. And so he talks about him as his buddy. So whether he actually met him or not, I don't really know. But
there's so
talks about
cool,
him as his friend and buddy.
So many cool Jimi Hendrix stories. People who just run into him and hung out with him.
Look at the guy here in Windsor, right?
Oh, who's he's one of the guys. Yeah, yeah. Joe Conis.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good example. Yeah. A lot of people you just... Guess what? I jammed with Jimi
Hendrix.
Well,
he was in the Gods. And he jammed with Lee Kerslake, and he, you know, hung out with Uriah Heep, and you know, all that stuff. That's some cool stories right there. But Frank Marino from Mac Zoom doing "Buddy" about Jimi Hendrix.
Well, my friend and I shared many things, and we rode together on angels' wings, and I didn't really care what the future might bring. When I would listen to him playing and singing, when I was feeling down, he'd lift my spirits high. And at the same time, his magic music made me cry. And then one day, he just up and I felt all alone as I stood screaming. Well, I said, buddy, what has happened? Can you hear me, friend? Buddy, I didn't see this coming round the bend. Buddy, is this the way your story ends? Will you rest easy and I'll carry on singing? Thank you.
All right, we are back, and we're just about out of time. And since I have no say in what the shows are, what are we doing next week, Lippo?
Well, I wanted to comment on the the fact that we did a Frank Marino tune in, because there's so many people.
Well, there's Hendrix tribute albums too and stuff. Ozzy and everybody.
You're getting right around to where the next week's show is going.
Oh,
tribute.
Yeah, love it.
So we're going to be playing songs.
We're going to have to run songs all through the show on that one. No,
well, no.
Wow, that's good stuff. That's not. We can't play enough songs.
Yes, we can't play enough Hendrix songs. We can't play enough B.B. King songs. It's just too much. Let's highlight the songs that we do put them in there, that we do play, and, you know.
Actually. You know what's great? A recent tribute album, a Dio tribute album, Metallica doing, they four do like tunes. A little medley.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
It is. It's so heavy.
Yeah. And they do Stargazer.
Yeah.
Which is kind of rare. Anyway.
Yeah, it's a great... I listened to that nonstop when it first came out.
Later on, they came out with a... Rainbow live thing on DVD. I think you could get it as an album or bootleg or whatever, and they came out with it on DVD, live concert in Europe somewhere, mm-hmm. and they actually do Stargazer live, which is, you don't hear on a lot of things, you know what I mean? But
for sure.
But I think it is on the Rainbow Live.
Okay, you're not allowed to play that song next week, though. Because it's like 11, 12 minutes long, and we only got
I don't think it's
show.
That long by...
oh, no, the original...
Yeah, Metallica, well, we won't play the original because it's a tribute. So we'll just play maybe the Stargazer part, so it's not so long.
Sure, Stargazer, that's an awesome tribute. You know how many tribute albums there are?
Oh, of everybody. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. There's everything. It's going to be a tough decision on picking a few songs a piece.
Yep, for sure. So you're not going to want to miss that, folks.
No.
Next week on Big JD and Lippo in the morning. What do we got on the way out?
On the way out, this is another group, not Hendrix.
Shut the front door.
This is Body Count doing Hey Joe.
Well, it's you're awesome. Doing the tribute show the week before.
I guess I am, but...
Well, you're nuts.
Well, that's only the one song, though. Well, no, Buddy wasn't a tribute. Like, it was not a Jimi Hendrix song.
No.
Because on the tribute show, we're going to play songs... covers, like artists do.
It would be covers,
yeah. Kind of thing, yeah.
And then, you know what we're going to have to do?
I got a billion of them.
We're going to have to do at least one tribute song that features the original person in the band. I know Ozzy does one for sure.
Oh, some are, yeah.
Yeah, so they're in the original and they're in the cover.
Maybe we should play the tribute song and the original song back to back.
Maybe we'll do that for one
over
song.
Over top of each other.
Yikes.
Okay, so this is Body Count. Doing Hey Joe on the Jimi Hendrix Show here on Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. See you next week.
Bye.
Hey Joe, where you going with that gun in your hand? Hey Joe, where you going with that gun in your hand? Shoot my old lady. You know I'm gonna mess around with another man. Gonna have to shoot my old lady. You know I'm gonna mess around with another man. That ain't too cool. Hey Joe, heard you shot your woman down. Down. Yes, I did. I shot her. You know, I caught that girl messing around town. Yes, I did. I shot her. You know, I caught that girl messing around town. I took out my gun and I shot her. Yeah.
join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.
What's going on? Look at it. It's Christmas here. So we got the phone
he's,
goes.
He's got everything going. The watch.
The iPad.
Is the watch going? Because yeah. It's black. Okay.
Oh, that's it. Well,
battery died.
No, you just got to
You have to answer that?
I'm not answering this call.
Okay.
We're going to decline it.